Is it possible that you've ever entertained an angel and not even known it? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. Now, I'm going to come back at the end of the program and tell you how to get your hands on some of our free resources. But as for right now, we're going to go right to our discussion, which is part of our series called Partners with Christ, Hebrews. We've got Ken Yates in the studio with us, who is the author of a book by the same name. Here's Ken, Sean, and Bob on today's passage.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're in the studio with Dr. Ken Yates, author of Hebrews, Partners with Christ. It's a book you need to pick up right away. It's a really good book. It's not too academic, but if you're a pastor, you need this book. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you need this book. If you're just an interested layperson, you need this book. This is a commentary that anyone could read with profit. Hopefully, going through this series will kind of give you a taste of how much there is to learn from this amazing book. Well, we're in chapter 13, and this is the last chapter of Hebrews. One of you was telling a joke, wasn't it, about Hebrews chapter 15? Was it a Western or something?
Yeah, I saw a Western once where a preacher came into town and talked to the people, and he preached a sermon out of Hebrews chapter 15, and he rode out of town, and someone said, wait a second, there's only 13 chapters in Hebrews. So that's how they knew he was a fake.
So Hebrews 13, verse 1. So he just did the fifth warning, by the way.
Right.
Now, what was the fifth warning?
The fifth warning was that we need to listen to the one who has spoken to us from heaven, and that there is a kingdom coming that cannot be shaken. And so it's very important that we listen to what God has said, particularly about serving him in light of the world to come and rewards and being partners with Christ in the world to come.
All right. So now, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Well, maybe I'll just stop there. Let's talk about this. Let brotherly love continue.
To see the connection with what happened before, generally in the New Testament, when an epistle was written, you have, for lack of a better word, doctrine, and then how is that lived out? And that's kind of like what we have here. He ended chapter 12 by saying we ought to serve God with reverence and awe. Well, what does that look like? And here it is. And as we also talked about earlier, there's this theme in how we serve God that involves a corporate serving of him. We don't serve God just as individuals, but we also serve as a body of believers. And so it's not surprising then that he starts off with, let's love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ.
And then verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. When I read a verse like that, that's something that I don't get strangers and pick them up off the street or whatever. And invite them home. I don't really do this.
Right.
We don't really do that, generally speaking.
I don't think this is talking about just, you know, finding a homeless person and entertaining an angel unawares. I think this is more like traveling teachers or traveling believers, and they come to your assembly, and somebody needs to show them hospitality.
So it's like, have you had, like, traveling Christians just stay at your house?
Well, I've certainly stayed in a lot of houses. I bet,
right,
I've stayed in more than 100 in my travels over the years, maybe 200 or 300. And yeah, we've had a few. We've had a few people who have stayed with us,
wait,
whether they're speakers
wait
or
a
whatever.
Second. You've stayed in hundreds of houses?
Yes.
Are you an angel?
I could be. Well, if you ask Sharon, the answer is yes, but not the kind you're thinking of.
That's fine.
And I understand, Bob, you may be able to add some more to this, and Sean, you as well, that it was pretty dangerous to travel in the first century. And so if you were a traveling teacher or something, you were really at the mercy of your fellow believers. I'd even heard that inns were more like you would get in a bed and another stranger might get in the same bed with you or something. You know, it was, you know, you didn't know what you were to expect. So this would have been something very important in the first century especially.
Well, and you see the same thing in 3 John. In 3 John, they're supposed to help the traveling teachers. Gaius was doing this, and he says, you do well for whatever you do for the travelers. Same basic idea. It's just so short here, we don't have any context to it. It's
sure.
Just he's making these little pithy statements. But what's amazing is a lot of people marvel about entertaining angels unaware. I mean, does that happen in the 21st century too, or was that only a first century occurrence?
Well, he doesn't seem to put a time limit on it, does he?
Do you remember that show with Michael Landon? What was it called? Highway to Heaven?
Highway to Heaven.
And he played an angel and he'd go from town to town solving problems.
If Michael Landon was happening? An angel, then I've entertained angels before.
So that's theological. That's biblical, man.
It is.
Is it?
It is.
But we just don't know about it.
I have had a few times where I've had encounters with people where I've wondered. I remember one time Sharon and I were driving back from a speaking engagement, I think in Granbury, and we were coming back by past Fort Worth, and suddenly radiator fluid was all over the windshield. The radiator hose had burst, and it was about 105 degrees that day. So I pulled off to the side of the road, and some, you know, cowboy-type guy comes up in a big pickup truck, and we had called AAA, but it was going to be a while, and he comes up, and we said, oh, that's all right, we're just waiting for AAA, and he says, no, it's too hot, get in my truck. And it was like 110 degrees. It was totally cold in this truck. It was great. And so we sat there, and he waited there for like 15 minutes until AAA came. Then he left. And I was thinking, I don't know, but I wonder, could that guy be an angel? Now, it was reversed because he was giving me hospitality. I wasn't giving him hospitality.
That's right.
But there have been a few times in my lives where I've wondered, in my life, I haven't had multiple lives, but in my life, where I've wondered, have I had some sort of encounter with an angel? Maybe. You never know.
Well, what's interesting about this is, remember, chapter 1 talks about the angels who are sent out to minister to those who will inherit salvation.
Oh, yeah.
And also,
good tie-in.
Also, Melchizedek, there's a likelihood that he was an angel as well. So the point is, in the book, there's been this, at least this idea that angels are involved in what the author of Hebrews is talking about.
That's interesting. Good. All right, verse 3. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Now, that's something I do. There's a ministry that lets you write to persecuted Christians in developing countries who are in prison. And so that's – and we have a – our magazine gets sent to prisoners, and our new books, we send our books to prisoners. And so we have a pretty good, we could probably have a regional conference in a prison,
right.
Probably.
Right. Although this isn't talking about prisoners who are there because they committed some crime.
Right.
This is talking about prisoners who are there because of their faith, right?
Yeah, so that takes us back to his description of what they've been through in chapter 10, the bonds that he talked about, the persecutions that they've gone through. And once again, we see how serving God involves how we minister to others. And again, that's a theme that we've seen in the book of Hebrews.
Right. He says, since you yourselves are in the body also, it's like if they're suffering, the body's suffering. If they're in prison for Christ, the whole body's suffering.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. That's definitely something that's breaking down in our society, where even Christians or self-professed Christians are surprised, like, what? I'm not supposed to be shacking up with my girlfriend or boyfriend? Oh, really? I'm not supposed to have sex outside of marriage? It's like, this is something that seems like it's almost not completely disappeared, but there's widespread sexual immorality, even among Christians. So it sounds like that was something they needed to be reminded of even back then.
Yeah, I also remember, I don't remember where I read this, but they say there may be something behind here as well, that this may be a reference to the brand of Judaism that they were being attracted by that was forbidding marriage. For example, at Qumran, there's indications that those who actually lived out there did not marry. Now, if they were the Essenes, those who lived in the cities evidently did. But it may be that even the false teachings were saying, well, marriage, even sex within marriage is wrong. But certainly the author of Hebrews is talking about walking in a way that pleases God in the area of sex, which is sex is reserved for marriage between a man and a woman.
Well, that reminds me of the Shakers, the furniture, Shaker furniture, and their leader, Anne, I think it was Mother Ann Lee, who claimed to be the reincarnation of Jesus as a female. Their sect died off because they said sex was wrong. Sex was inherently immoral, so you shouldn't ever have sex. Well, if you don't have that, you don't have children. If you don't have children, then your movement dies off. And the Shakers eventually did die off because they forbade all relations like that. Verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yeah, that's not a statement here of eternal security, precisely. It's a statement that's in the context of God taking care of our needs. He's our protector. He's our provider. He provides what we need, don't you think, Ken?
Oh, absolutely. And when we again remember what they'd gone through, the seizing of their property in chapter 10, what he's saying is there's no need. And as he said earlier, just a few verses earlier, that there is this kingdom that is coming that cannot be shaken. So don't worry about how much money you have, whether you're wealthy or if you're following the Lord, if you lose these things.
And so we can always know that God is with us, even in the sufferings, maybe especially in the sufferings.
Absolutely. Yes, that fits well with what the author of Hebrews is telling his readers.
Verse 6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So ultimately, all the sufferings that we can undergo in this life for Christ should all be seen in light of who we have in Christ.
And as we've seen throughout the book of Hebrews, there is this idea of the enemies of God, the enemies of God's people. I think that's definitely what's behind, what can man do to me? So if the enemies of God take these things from me, what do I have to fear? You know, obviously the Lord says, don't fear those who can even kill the body. Certainly we shouldn't fear those who can take our material blessings, material possessions away, because a kingdom is coming in which the things are going to be permanent.
That's very good. This section, 13:1-6, was talking about concluding moral instructions. Very brief, but the author knows that they will be hearing the word taught each week in their local assemblies. And here he then moves to the section we'll see next, which is concluding religious instructions, and we'll take a look at that in the next episode.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. What a fascinating idea. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We're nearing the end of Hebrews, both for this series and the biblical book. Next time on the program, we're going to look at one of two more passages that appear in the last chapter. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.